Welcome to Comic Talk Today. I'm Martin. At long last, I've been teasing this episode for like a week or so we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the coming of the $5 comic book. And I know many of you are already being naysayers about this whole thing, because I've talked to some of you on Twitter, so let's talk about this. One thing that I heard from some folks is, but Martin, comic books have been $4.99 for a long time. Yes, this is kind of partially true. There have been $4.99 comics for a long time. I mean, we're seeing right now $7.99, $9.99 comics, right? That's not really a surprise. But what I'm talking about is an entire line of comic books going up to $4.99. Now, that's not something that's being done, so that's what we're here to talk about. As I'm going through my whole speech, I want you to think about your personal buying habits on comics. What is it that you want out of comics? What do you buy? Is there a book that you would quit buying were that book to go up to $4.99? Now, I think there are legitimate concerns for comics going to $4.99 for many of you. I know I have my concerns. As I've often talked about, the majority of people that listen to this show buy probably less than 10 comics a month, right? So if you're going from $3.99, we'll just say, I think that's about the average. I haven't looked at the average for the industry, but we'll just go with that. I think it's a little less, actually. It might be like $3.89 is the average when you combine, you know, all the $2.99 books, books like Alterna, you know, doing the $1.50, things like that. I think it averages out industry-wide to about $3.89. Now, I don't see some of these publishers, of course, going to $4.99. I think where mostly this will impact is going to be DC and Marvel Comics. And why is that? The answer is very simple. The majority of comics being put out are put out by Marvel or DC. Well, do I want to say majority? It's probably pretty close, right? I mean, these publishers are doing 60 to 100 books on any given month. It depends. I don't know what the exact output is right now, but I remember at one point Marvel was putting out like 110 books a month. Something ridiculous. Overall, I would say there's probably about 400, 500, 600 comics being released on any given month. I'm sure some of you can give me an exact number. Some of you that basically buy every single comic. Mike, I'm talking to you. Tell me how many comics come out in a month. But we'll go with a few hundred. We'll go 400 to 500. I think is probably a pretty good number. This is, of course, comics being put out, distributed by Diamond. I'm not including Kickstarters or anything on Indiegogo, anything like that. Just comics, not including trades either, just comics. Will you still be buying comics when they go to $4.99? Now, I talked about this. I talked about this, I don't know, several months back. It might have been one of the earlier episodes, so maybe even close to a year back, about the price of comics. And I got a ton of comments on that, so I want to do a follow-up, because I think right now we're really pretty close to having a line-wide jump to $4.99. Now, of course, with DC, this has been kind of coming. I think DC might be the most telling of all these companies, because one thing that DC did really well when they did the Rebirth relaunch is place their books at $2.99. Now, granted, those books are bi-weekly, so technically you're spending $5.98 a month on a comic. Sure, that might be true. But at the same time, you're getting twice the story, right? I think that's something that we've often battled with is what's the – Nick, my buddy Nick from Nerdy Legion, my co-host there, he likes to talk about this quite a bit, the price per page. Price per page is very important to Nick, and I'm sure to a lot of people. I know when I look for sales in Comixology, for example, that's definitely something that I look at. Do I want to buy a Masterworks that's several hundred pages for $5, or do I get just a trade for $3? Well, the trade might only be 96 pages. So, of course, the price per page is going to be a huge factor in what I decide to get then, right? Because you want to get the best bang for your buck. Now, for the majority of you, again, if you're buying 10 books a month and the price of all your comics goes up by a dollar a piece, well, that might be a huge deal, right? But it's only $10 increase. Now, of course, $10 could technically buy you two or three comics right now, but you might not see that as a big deal. And I will tell you why it's not a big deal in a bit, but it might still impact many of you. Now, for bigger comic buyers, like myself, for example, if I'm reading 75 to 100 comics a month, that's a $75 to $100 increase. That means, do I decide to continue with my comic book buying habits, or do I cut out 15, 20 books out of my pull list? That can be a tough decision to make if you're buying a lot of books. If you're a collector, that might be something that you think about also, right? Now, how will this impact, say, the speculator market if the books go up? I'm not quite sure. Part of me wants to think that maybe in some ways it will actually negatively impact the rest of the industry, because people that are speculating generally have a little more disposable income than people that don't speculate. And as a result, they might end up buying more of these books. And so the industry might actually continue to go on this trend and either fully move to $4.99 or even try more expensive books. I think that's one of the big problems that we have, and one of the big problems that I have at least, in a large chunk of the speculator market. As I said in the last week's episode, I have no problem with collecting. I have no problem with speculating. I don't speculate, but I do collect. And speculating does impact my collecting sometimes, because there are books that I might want that I can't get because they're being priced out of my market. Now, of course, I could maybe cut out 10, 15 books a month from my pull list, and that'll go into my budget, and I can purchase certain books without a problem because I'm spending the same amount of money or even a little bit more. But for most people that don't have this kind of disposable income, that is definitely a problem, because then you price out the typical comic book reader from the market. I think that's really one of the key things that people often forget when they talk about the increase of comic book pricing, is not necessarily will the actual increase put out by publishers even make a dent on what people buy. Again, if most people are only buying a handful of books, you know, $5, $6, $10 might not make a huge difference for the majority of people. For some, surely it will, right? I mean, I don't know how many kids are reading comics nowadays. I remember I was reading comics when I was a kid, and the way for me to get money to get those books was to do odd jobs around the neighborhood or for my parents or whatever. Because my parents didn't give me a comic book budget, right? They might be like, well, you know, you want to buy some comics, here's $5, you know. Back then, you could buy 3 or 4 comics for $5. You can't do that anymore. What's $5 going to buy you? A comic, maybe, sometimes? I mean, if I want to buy House of X, Power of X, which I'm very excited for, the new Hickman X-Men books, those are going to be, I think issue 1 is $7.99, if I'm not mistaken. Now, yes, they are 40 pages. They're a little bit longer, so that's fine. But that's a lot of money to spend on a single comic book. But really, ultimately, I think it is the speculation of comics that's going to price a lot of people out, in particular when these comics start being a little bit more just out of the gate, without even worrying about the additional cost that speculating is costing some of these comics. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about how pricing of comics has changed over the years, and I did kind of a long thing on this. Again, go find that episode, but I'll give you a basic recap. And I'm going to give you a set number of years. I will give you a comic cover price, and I'll give you a price of that comic based on inflation. And if you don't know what inflation is, look it up. But everything goes up because a dollar is not always worth a dollar. All right, so 1960, a comic book cover price on average was 10 cents. Compare that to today's dollars, that would be roughly 85 cents. In 1970, there were 15-cent cover price. Compared to today's price, that's roughly a dollar. In 1980, there were 40 cents. That translates to roughly $1.25. In 1990, there were $1.75 cover price. That translates to roughly $1.75. In 2000, comic cover price on average was $2.50. That translates to today's price of $4.04. That's a good number, because that's roughly what we're paying for comics now, right? $3.99 on average. And let's go to 2005. $2.99 comics is when we first got those. The dollar was a little bit stronger, so there were about $3.80 for a comic in today's dollars. 2010, $3.99, that translates to roughly $4.50 in today's dollars. And in 2015, at $3.99, translates to roughly $4.15. Not too bad, right? You're looking at this, you're thinking, okay, that's about roughly what I'm paying. But when you look at this on the business side, it's not quite as easy. Because if you look at a 2015 comic or a 2010 comic at $3.99, the dollar's not as strong as it was back then, so adjusting for inflation, you're looking at roughly $4.65 for a comic. Now, of course, that actually makes sense if a comic book publisher wants to go up to $4.99, because that means that they're basically paying the same for a comic that was being put out 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But adjusted for inflation, it gives you exactly the same price, with a little bit of wiggle room if you want to adjust for maybe inflation kicking those prices up a little bit more over the next couple of years. I don't know how long a $4.99 comic could last, but you know, maybe we could get $4.99 comics for the next 5 years or so. In fact, I remember during the 90s, I think that's when we got really the biggest jump in comic book prices. Because we started going from the $175, then you went to $195, to $2, to $225, to $250, $275, to $95, all within the span of about 10 years. And that's a pretty big jump, right? You had roughly a 60, 70% increase in comic book pricing in that time. And right now, really, all we're talking about is a 20% adjustment in price between comics 4 years ago and comics now. Again, adjusted for inflation, that does come out a little bit more. And how we look at this will depend. Well, are you making the same that you were 5, 10 years ago? If you are, that might be a problem. Because mostly, when you get one of these, annual raises at work, you have the, what do they call it? The cost of living increase or whatever. It's generally not very much. It's a few cents on the dollar. And it generally doesn't truly account for cost of living increases from 1 year to the next. Sometimes it does, but not always. I guess it depends on your job. Now, if we simply look at this in terms of economics, the dollar price increase really is not a problem whatsoever. In fact, I would contend that I would have almost zero problem with comics going to $4.99. I know maybe that wasn't necessarily my argument back then, but I've had several months to think about this. And I think the enjoyment that I receive out of a comic book is generally enough to entice me to do that. Now, you might ask, what is some of the concrete proof that you have that comics will be going in this direction? And I will tell you, I have zero proof. However, I am pretty good at spotting trends in certain things. And I think if you actually look at some of these trends and you look at some of these numbers, we're long overdue for an increase in comic book pricing. Long overdue. I just talked about the inflation side, right? That might seem a little boring. You're like, why are you talking economics? I don't give a crap about economics. This is a show about comic books. Talk about comic books today. I am talking about comic books today, and comic books today are not worth $3.99. They're worth $4.68. So why not go to the $4.99 price range? Now, of course, this does impact directly the digital market. We've talked about this many times, and one of the biggest issues I think the majority of people have, even people like myself that buy a lot of digital comics, is why the hell am I spending $3.99, $4.99 on a comic that takes $0 to produce and distribute? Now, by produce, of course, I don't mean that nobody's getting paid to make it, okay? I'm going out after the fact that you pay the creators to make this book, it takes nearly $0. It's like a fraction of a penny to put it online and distribute it to a million people. If you want to hear more about that, of course, you can go back to, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the episode on Is the Future Digital? I know I referenced it last week on that episode. I want to reference it again because I recommend this all kind of ties in together. If you want to kind of understand why things happen in a market, and in particular, we're talking about comic books. So in the comic book market, you need to look at the bigger picture. When a decision is made, that decision is not made for one particular reason. There are a multiple number of reasons why those decisions are made. And the majority of that is economics. You need to make it worthwhile for the writer and the artist and the editors and the publishers to make this book, to make enough money to continue making the book, to sometimes pay part of the cost for making other books. Because, of course, a book like Batman, or surprisingly, I was very surprised. I was looking at April sales, in fact, March as well. Amazing Spider-Man is doing extremely well for Marvel. I did not realize how well it had been doing. And I had actually dropped off for that book, so I'm not sure what is happening that is causing that to be the case. But I was very surprised and very happy, because Spider-Man is a great character. Just doesn't always resonate with me. I know for many of you, you guys love it, and you tell me all the time to read it. It's fine. I'll catch up at some point. But not every book is those books, right? Not every book can sell 100, 120, 150,000 copies. 80% of the books will be on the lower rung of that, right? They'll sell under 20,000 copies. So you have the top 20% supporting the bottom 80%. This is a common thing. Again, I don't like to talk about economics, but this is an economics rule, right? You can go look up the 80-20 rule. It applies to a million different things. That's why when I talk about these things, don't think to yourself, oh, now you're getting all fancy-dancy on me, uses terminology that makes no sense. I don't care about any of this stuff. I just want to read comics. Yes, but if you want to continue reading comics, you need to educate yourself about how to make that be the case. So it all ties in together. And not every book can be those books, and you have to kind of support the bottom rung. Now, not everybody loves the bottom rung, and that's fine, but there's always those comics that come out that have a solid base of fans that will buy that book, but doesn't appeal to everybody else. Like, you know, I talked about Moon Knight, for example. Moon Knight has a very strong following. There are people that love Moon Knight to death, and that will always buy Moon Knight. I am one of those people. I know there's many of you out there, Mike C and Andrew and a bunch of other guys. Anytime there's a Moon Knight book, you'll buy it. But if Marvel doesn't have the income coming in from some of the bigger books, and again, I haven't talked too much about this whole X-Men thing, but Hickman coming on X-Men is going to be a huge driving force, not just for the X-Men line, but for the entire Marvel line. Because even though those books will be at $7.99 for issue one, people are still going to buy them. I'm buying them. I'm going to buy the entire line because I cannot wait. I love Hickman as a writer, and I've wanted the X-Men to be as great as it was back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And that's not demeaning any of the creators that have worked on the recent relaunch or previous ones before that. Not demeaning them at all. But for the hardcore X-Men fan, there is something that you want that you haven't quite gotten from the last few attempts at runs with the X-Men, right? I know many of you are already nodding your head. It's true. Some of you would be like, well, the books are fine. Yes, they were fine. They were really enjoyable. I like what Cullen Bunn was doing. I don't like what Rosenberg's doing right now, what Kelly was doing on Uncanny. I like all that stuff. But there's something missing, right? It's not quite what we got with, like, Claremont, for example. And maybe that's maybe a tough sell, right? Claremont was on that book for, God knows, 15 years, I think. I don't know, something like that. And so you can build a strong base when you have a single writer kind of pushing an entire universe along. But we do need that. And I think Marvel has realized that, and we have Hickman coming in. Now, this book is $7.99. I have not seen August solicits for Marvel. My assumption is that they'll be out this week because, like, DC already has August solicits out. But I think this is where it gets really interesting because, from my understanding, after issue one of House of X, Power of X, those books will be $4.99. And they're not going to be oversized. They'll be 32 pages like every other Marvel book, and I think that's okay. But DC has been, I think, a little bit more telling, right? So they started off with these $2.99 books, which did very well for them. DC was topping the sales charts for months and months and months after Rebirth came out because people loved the $2.99 books. Sometimes people were forgetting that they were bi-weekly books, but they loved the $2.99 books. After a while, DC said, hey, you know, we can't really make this viable. Some of these books will go to monthly, but they'll remain $2.99. And then we got, well, you know, more of those books will go monthly, but they're going to be $3.99. And then some of the bi-weekly books will go to $3.99. And now we have, for example, the Villains Month stuff. Okay, so DC has this initiative. There's going to be some one-shots and whatever, this Villains Month thing. They're going to be highlighting villains. And I think one thing that's really interesting, and I think this is really where the test becomes true, is that you're still going to have your regular books at $2.99, or $3.99, excuse me, at $3.99. But then you're going to have the Villains Month variant covers at $4.99. Now, what is the difference between these two books? Well, really absolutely nothing. The only difference is that the Villains Month variant covers will be Villains Month centered, right? They'll have villains on the cover to celebrate this Villains Month. And they'll have cardstock covers as opposed to the regular cheapo paper covers. And I mean, be cheapo paper, just like regular paper. Don't think that DC has cheapo covers. That's not what I'm saying. But compared to a cardstock cover, very different, right? And if you want to know what a cardstock cover looks like, I'm sure you've seen them. DC has done them. Marvel has done them. Valiant has been doing cardstock covers for a very long time. They're really nice, right? Heavier paper. I think the covers look a little nicer. It also makes the comic feel a little nicer, a little heftier, a little more expensive. And really, that's where we're getting to the thing, right? Because there is absolutely nothing, aside from this cardstock cover, that would make the book more expensive. Now, yes, I guess technically it is more a collectible item, and therefore should be costed a little bit higher. That's probably true. You can go back to last week's episode where I talk about the economics of speculating collecting. But ultimately, there's no big difference. I mean, how much difference in price would it cost DC to do a regular paper cover as opposed to a cardstock cover, in particular when they're doing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of units on these particular books? Well, really, the price then becomes basically zero, right? If you look at production costs, this is always the case that it works. This is the reason why comic books are always done in 8-page increments. Think about this for a second. Nobody ever talks about this either. Why is it that you always see that, right? When you had a 22-page comic, it was really a 24-page comic. Then you have 32-page comics, 40-page comics. There's a reason for that. And the reason is that in terms of publishing costs, it's actually cheaper to print something in 8-page increments as opposed to 6 or 10 or whatever. Maybe I'll do an episode on the actual breakdown of production costs of a comic, and I'll go a little bit into that as well, because I think that's really interesting. But there's a reason for everything. Don't often overlook these things. So when you have these Villain Month covers, again, no difference, but a dollar more. And really, I think that's going to be the test of things, and this is where things get a little weird. This is where things get a little weird, because we all know as comic fans, regardless of your experience within comics, how publishers can sell more of a particular something. And generally, the rules are very simple. You make a bunch of variant covers. That's one way to do it. That's why oftentimes number ones will sell 10x what a number two will sell, because you have variants. Those variants drive a collector market, a speculator market. And so ultimately, when you have diamond sales, you show whatever. Let's make something up. Amazing Spider-Man number one selling 150,000 copies, and number two selling 70,000 copies. Those are made up numbers, by the way. Amazing Spider-Man does roughly 80 to 90,000 right now. So that's one way to do it. And this is kind of what they're testing out here. You make this seem a little more special, a little more collectible, but you charge a little bit more. And all kind of disguised in this cool Villains Month thing. We'll throw in some books in there, right? Because it ties into this event. But ultimately, the event really isn't an event. It's a non-event. It's more like an interesting sales tactic to try to test out the market on these $4.99 books. Now, are we going to see exclusive $4.99 books by the end of the year? I don't know. But you do have some that already come out that way, right? So the Curse of the White Knight, for example, those are $4.99 books. Now, yes, they are a little bit... Well, are they? No, those are 32 pages. They're not longer. Because DC has often done this, right? Whenever they increase the price of a book, they'll add the pages. But the Curse of the White Knight, those are 32-page comics. And yes, there's some other ones that are coming out, you know, specials or minis or whatever, that are $5.99, but they're 40 pages. I believe the Batman Superman, the new book that's coming out, that's a $4.99 book. And I don't believe that that's a 40-page comic. I'm pretty sure that's a 32-page. So we're testing the waters. Does that mean we'll get them by the end of this year? I'm not quite sure yet. I think we're still kind of early enough that it's possible, but with solicits the way that they run, it's already kind of late. I think really what we'll probably see is after the new year comes around, usually January, February are slower months in comics because people are kind of recuperating from the huge amounts of money that they've spent at Christmas time. So people don't buy as much comic books as they normally do in those months. But I think once we get towards the end of winter, maybe March or April of 2020, we're definitely going to start seeing a larger shift to some of this stuff. I'm very curious to see what Marvel's going to do. I think in terms of page count, Marvel has done a better job at having higher page counts than DC does for the same price. I know people often talk about, oh, Marvel books can be expensive, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it's true. But I think across the line, Marvel books are 32 pages, whereas DC books are not. There are some 32-page ones, but across the line, the number of Marvel books with a higher page count is much higher than DC books. Now, with Hickman doing this thing, I think Power of X and House of X are both 6-issue miniseries. I know that at San Diego Comic-Con, they're going to be announcing the first wave of new X-Men titles that I would assume would be launching beginning at the end of this year, but I don't know. If they're announcing a San Diego, I mean, I guess technically there's enough room to bring them out, you know, November, December. That'd be a little rushed, but very possible. I mean, I'm sure these books have been in the works for a while. But I'm curious to see when those books are announced, what the pricing strategy is going to be. I mean, we already know issues number ones are probably all going to be, you know, $7.99, $9.99, something like that, right? Double-sized issues. And they'll still do very well because people love the number ones. But I'm more curious after that, how the line's going to shake out. And really, I'm curious to know how much of the entire line can really make the price of $4.99 make sense for those comics, right? So a big heavy hitter book like a relaunched X-Men or Amazing Spider-Man or Batman, you can probably do Detective. You can do $4.99 on those comics. right? I think people will be less price sensitive when you have huge flagship titles with great curated teams at a higher price. Those will not make any difference. My concern becomes, how does this impact other books that will never be as popular? So like if they redo a Young Avengers, for example, right? I was looking at solicits for July, and I was flabbergasted that there's a Death's Head comic coming out in July. Now granted, it's Tinney Howard, so yes. I love Death's Head, and I love Tinney Howard, so combine the two, yes, I'm buying the book. But how many people are going to buy a Death's Head comic? I'm being serious. I know last episode I talked about, oh Mike, he cracks me up. I was talking about, nobody used to buy the Eternals. And of course, Mike Myers, go check out Geek Brunch and Mike Esbicki Reads. He immediately chimed in and told me, about how in, I think he said 90 or 91, he went to a hotel con and bought Eternals. But yes, like I told him, Mike is a very different breed of comic book reader, right? I was talking about your average reader. One day, Mike, I will do an episode exclusively for readers like yourself. But what about these smaller titles, right? Death's Head's $3.99, so maybe that's a bad example. But what if, like, a Young Avengers relaunches, right? What's the market for that? If DC were to do, like, a Legionnaires book, yes, that would have a huge number of people buying it. But will those people stick around afterwards? Would that make it worthwhile to do a $4.99 book? Or a book like, you know, Separate Super Sons. I think that's about to end pretty soon. If not this month, maybe next month or so. Super Sons. That's a great title. It's a freaking amazing title. It's funny. It's got great art. But is that worth $4.99 for a lot of people? Probably not, right? Aside from, you know, Batman Detective, Justice League, Superman Action, maybe Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman's kind of an iffy edge case. And that's not something I want to talk about right now, but Wonder Woman's kind of an interesting factor in comics. For DC, are those books, I would say, are worth $4.99. If you do like a Martian Manhunter or Midnighter, if they brought back Stormwatch, I would pay $20 for an issue. I'm just kidding, don't do that. But, you know, those kind of books, will those do well, right? On the Marvel side, yeah, Amazing would do well, X-Men, maybe Avengers. I know they've done some interesting stuff with the pricing on Avengers. But what about outside of that, right? What if you did, like, the Iceman comic, for example? That would not do well at $4.99. It barely did well at $3.99. So I think that's something interesting to think about. And I want you guys to think about this stuff, because it really is important that you think about this kind of thing. It really is important. Why do things work the way they do in comics? Oftentimes we try to just... Our first reaction is to go online and complain about things, or to do a podcast and complain about it, or to go and sign a damn petition. Nobody cares about your petitions, okay? Be a grown-up, think about these things, okay? Majority of you listening to this are not children, and the majority of people buying comics are not children. So you can make informed decisions about how you buy comics and what you want to support. So my concern is they're going to be doing this Villains Month thing. It's going to sell very well, because I know it will sell very well. And then DC's going to be like, okay, people are loving these $4.99 books. Every book goes to $4.99. Well, what's going to happen then is, well, yes, some books will do very well. I just named a few. But what about the rest of the line? What's going to happen when those books go from already kind of pizzly, you know, 15,000 copies to 14, 13, 12, 10? I mean, they're already at the cancellation threshold. They're not going to make it with a price bump. Now that could mean some really good things for comics. It could mean that we only get the best properties with the best creative teams. But then the problem is, what about the rest of the characters? What about fans of smaller characters that may never see those characters in their own book again? Do those people just go away from comics? Because publishers aren't just putting out the stuff that they want to read. They just put out the stuff that they know will sell. That's kind of an interesting thing to think about. And that's one of the things that I'm torn about. Because I've already decided that even at $4.99, the majority of the books that I read, I will continue to read. But I'm also in a smaller select group than the majority of comic readers. So I want to know what you guys think. Have you guys talked about this with your friends? Have you talked about this with your comic shop owners? What are their reactions? Because I'm sure comic shop owners will love it when some of these books go to $4.99. But are they thinking far enough ahead to know that it will make a difference? So, of course, let me know what you think. You can find me on Twitter at GeekVine. You can always email yell@comictalk.today. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back on Thursday, but I believe tomorrow you'll be getting a headlines. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you on the next one.